Hello, Saints. Continuing with our studies into the book of Philippians, we're in chapter 4. So last time we looked at the first five verses of chapter 4, all about these two women that were having trouble in the fellowship. And Paul was urging them to be of the same mind in the Lord. And then he finished off by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." So today I want to look at the next two verses, verse 6 and verse 7. And he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." So our context today is anxiety, or about anxiousness. And we all suffer from anxiousness in one form or another. Anxiety, I looked up the meaning of anxiety, and it means a feeling of worry, fear, nervousness or unease about something with an uncertain outcome. So anxiety is a feeling of worry, fear, nervousness or unease about something with an uncertain outcome. Now we all suffer from anxiety from of one form or another. And when you look around today, we live anxiety seems to be everywhere. There seems to be much more anxiety than when I was growing up. That's what it seems to me now. Everybody is living very busy lives. People are rushed off their feet. They're working hard to pay mortgages. Many times, both the parents are working. There seems to be stress at work. There seems to be stress at home. There's stress in their family lives and with their kids. Sometimes there's stress in marriages. And anxiety is it just seems to be at a lot higher levels than what it did in times past. Both of my adult children work with youth, and they both say the same thing, that there's a lot more anxiety in young people today. And part of that is actually technology. Now, technology was given to actually make life easier for us, but it has its pitfalls. And like everything that is good and can be used for good, it can also be used for corruption and cause harm upon people. And there seems to be a lot more anxiety in our kids. And part of that is because the whole social media aspect of technology. Our kids now get their self-esteem or their whole world is tied up in social media. And it's all about staying, being connected and staying, and people's opinions of you is highlighted, and it's fueling anxiety. So technology is a good thing, but in our kids today, their whole world view, their whole self-esteem, everything is revolved around how that they are perceived, how they are seen, whether they are criticized openly, whether they fit in socially, all on social media. And this is actually fueling anxiety in our kids. Another aspect is actually parenting has changed quite a bit as well. A lot of parents want to rescue their children. In other words, they don't allow their kids to fail. They are always there to pick them up, to sort out the situations, to fix the situation. And they're called helicopter parents because they are always rescuing their kids. There's no risk in play anymore. Everything is about health and safety. The kids don't learn how to fall out of a tree. They don't learn when you get a trampoline. Like when we had a trampoline with our kids, we had one of those big old rectangle super tramps, and we never had any pads on the springs. And yeah, you get the odd accident, but a kid soon learns that he's got to jump in the middle. You can't jump on the sides, otherwise your feet go through the springs, and that's uncomfortable. But these days, everything is about health and safety. They're trying to take the risk out of everything. In many playgrounds at schools, the kids aren't allowed to climb trees. So what is happening to our society is we are not building resilience into our children, so that when things come later on in life, and they will come, our kids become snowflakes. Instead of being resilient and able to handle the trials and the tribulations and the troubles that come, they're being brought up not with the ability to actually handle these things. There's no resilience. And a lot of these things are adding to the anxiety of our kids and anxiety in culture. I read a survey of anxiety. And out of 100%, it broke up to the things that people were anxious about. And it said 40% of the things that people are normally anxious or afraid or worry about never come to pass. They actually never happen. The things that you're worrying about, you're anxious about, they never occur, 40%. 30% of people were anxious about things that had happened in the past. So they're not letting go of those. 12% were anxious about criticism from other people toward them or people's opinions of them. And I think this must have been done quite a long time ago. If you were to take this survey now, that 12% would have risen a heck of a lot amongst the young people. 10% of anxiety was about health issues, how people perceive their health was going. And that left 8%. And that 8% was actually the real problems that people faced. And it was only a small percentage. And I thought that was a really interesting interview, because most of the things that we worry about, most of the things that we are anxious about that seem to be over our head don't actually come to pass. It's only a small percentage of things that are actually real problems that actually cause anxiety. An example would be there was a man that was sliding down. He was going to go into a well, and the well was all dark. So he was sliding down a rope into a well, and he thought he had given himself ample length on the rope that he was climbing down to get to the bottom of the well. But to his dismay, he reached the end of the line without reaching the bottom of the well, and it was pitch black. He didn't have a torch, didn't have a light, couldn't see anything, but all he knew was that he had come to the end of the rope with no sight of the bottom because it was pitch black. So unable to see the bottom, he just hung on to the end of the rope. He didn't have enough strength to pull himself up. He hung on until he could hold no longer. And then he fell a total of 5 inches. And many problems are actually like that. We're holding on, not knowing what the outcome is going to be, and it's actually not as bad as it is as this man. He only fell 5 inches, as he perceived. There was a poem written that said, "When we see the lilies spinning in distress, taking thought to manufacture loveliness, when we see the birds all building barns for store, then it will be time for us to worry, and not before." Corrie Ten Boom, I think, wrote this quote: "Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, it empties today of strength." And that's one thing that's very true, that anxiety is a strength sapper. It strips away all of your strength. And if we can put a little kiddie joke in here, what lies at the bottom of the ocean and twitches? A nervous wreck. So everyone actually suffers anxiety. And we've got many things that come to us all the time through the day, things that can cause us to be anxious, cause us to fear, cause us to worry. And it doesn't just happen with things in life. It happens even in the sports field. You'll quite often see someone who, what they call choking. He will have it in the bag. He'll have the win in the bag, but something will happen, and you'll just start to see him crumble. He'll start to get anxious, and it just snowballs. And I know that is true because it actually happened to me. Happened to me with golf. Like I was entering into the stroke play champs at the golf club, and I had a chance of winning it. And the night before the final, I was putting in the lounge, just putting a golf ball across the carpet into a cup. And I missed a short one, so I dragged the ball back, and I missed it again. And I dragged the ball back, and I missed it again. And then I noticed that I was starting to hear about this little putt. And then I developed a little twitch. As I was about to stroke the ball, I twitched. And my wife was there, and she could see it. And I thought, oh no, I've got the yips. This is what they call the yips. You get a nervous twitch over putting short putts. And I went to the golf course the next day trying to have a positive attitude, trying not to think about what had happened the night before. And I got onto the putting green and it was still there. And I thought, oh no. So I came to the first hole and I four putted the first green. Came to the second hole, I five putted. I couldn't even get a foot in. I'd be a foot away from the hole, and I'd go to stroke the ball, and I'd have a nervous twitch at the bottom, and the ball had come off right angles. And I went from bad to worse, and the people that I were playing with, they couldn't even watch. Every time I went to putt, they would turn their backs in case they caught what I had. And in the end, I ended up putting with my driver. That's how bad it got. Not good to watch. How did I get through it? Well, I got through it in time, but the reality was that I actually just cared too much. And that caring too much developed an anxiety in me just for trying to get a little golf ball into a hole. But it built up and it built up and it built up. And I was having a sword fight every time I went to put the ball in the hole. So it can happen. Now, a few scriptures on anxiety. Psalm 94, verse 19. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. See, we all have anxieties, and the need is actually God Himself. He says, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts, they delight my soul. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. David here is saying, search me, God, know my heart, and try me, know my anxieties, know the things about me that cause me to be anxious, the things that I'm afraid of, the things that worry me. And see if there is any wicked way in me, but lead me in the way that is everlasting. Notice that David always exposes the full extent of his heart. He doesn't hide his anxieties from God. He actually asks God to actually bring them out into the open. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And that is very true. If you ever come across someone that suffers greatly from anxiety, it can lead to depression because it's all consuming. All consuming. But a good word makes it glad. Now, Luke, Jesus speaks about worry and anxiety. In Luke 12, he talks about how we react to life's necessities first. So we'll just read Luke 12, verse 22. And then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. And of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all of these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So this passage is all about God can take care of you. He knows what you need, and he can supply what you need. He takes care of the whole animal kingdom, and they don't stress, but he provides what is needed. And you and I are of much more value to him than that. And Jesus is here saying, for life's necessities, don't worry. Don't be anxious. God knows what you need. The other one is in Mark chapter 8. Very well known little passage. But this one is about from 23. No, I've got the wrong verse. Sorry, I've got the wrong scripture. But what it is when Jesus was in the boat. Remember, a great storm arose, and he was asleep in the boat. And all the disciples were troubled and dismayed, and they woke him, saying, "Don't you care? We're perishing." And Jesus awoke, and he spoke and stilled the storm. And then he said to them, "O you of little faith, why are you afraid? O you of little faith." So he likened there the fact that they were troubled, they were anxious, they thought that they were going to die. And here you've got the picture of Jesus in the same situation, fast asleep, not concerned in the slightest. And he said, "O you of little faith," in other words, unbelief. Anxiousness, fear, worry is all unbelief. It's not faith. So here's a question. Was Jesus ever anxious? Did the Lord Jesus ever have a panic attack through anxiety? Was he ever anxious? Every situation that Jesus found himself, he was always adequate. For he always exposed every situation into his Father's hand, and the Father worked through him. So for each and every situation, you never saw anxiousness in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was always adequate in the Father's will. But there was one event where you do see anxiousness, and that's in Gethsemane. In Mark chapter 14, it reads that his soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. In Luke, it says that he was in agony, even sweating drops of blood. Agony of soul. That is full anxiousness. Now, for the only time in the Lord Jesus' life, in the Garden of Gethsemane, is the only place that I can find where he was troubled and he was anxious. But yet straight away, he says to the Father, "Is it possible for this cup to pass? But if not, your will be done." So in other words, he rebounds straight away onto his Father, even though he's feeling the thoughts of having to undergo the cross, being made sin, being separated from his father, the first time in all eternity, as he's made the sin offering. All of that daunting upon our Saviour in the garden. He even sweated drops of blood. Medically, they say it's physically possible, only under extreme, extreme anguish of soul for you to actually sweat more than water, but actually blood. But it's in extreme conditions. Luke says he was in agony of soul. And this is the only point where our Lord was anxious. And he says to the Father, is it possible? Is there any other way? But yet not my will, but your will be done. And that's a wonderful picture for us. No matter what is over our heads, it's always got to be put under the Father's feet. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ does. So in Philippians, he says, be anxious for nothing. Nothing means nothing. That means that there is nothing that can come to you in life that should cause you to fear, worry, or to make you anxious. Nothing is nothing. Now, the reality there is something else, because we all have things that cause us to be anxious. But Paul here is saying, be anxious for nothing. In other words, place everything under the feet of the Father. Put everything in the Lord's hands. Everything that comes to you. You shouldn't be fearing or worrying. Nothing is nothing. And from Genesis to Revelation, you get this constant theme. God is always saying to fallen man, fear not. Don't be afraid. And unfortunately, the fall of man has brought this about. But we need to learn that for every situation that is over our head, it's under our Father's feet. And this is what Paul is saying, be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, everything. This is everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer is the antidote for anxiousness, the ability to let God have the things that are over our head and causing worry. He knows all this anyway. It's a little bit like when your kids come home from school and you want to know how their day has gone. You want them to tell you everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because you want to be involved in their life and you want to see everything that is going on in their little world. Now, God knows everything that is going on in our world, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But Paul here is saying, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In other words, let God know. He knows it anyway. Bring him in to what is happening in your life. Let God have the things that are over our head and causing us to worry. And in this, we start to develop a relationship with him when we find him to be faithful. In everything by prayer and supplication. And then he goes on and he says, with thanksgiving. Two little words, one with thanksgiving. See, many pray to the Father. Many give all their troubles to God. Help me with this. This is happening. But is there thanksgiving included in that prayer? And Paul here is saying, you're to do this everything, but also with thanksgiving. We need to freely thank him. Are we thankful believers? Because thankfulness goes along with prayer and supplication. Are you thankful for the salvation that has come to you? That God reached down and chose you amongst all other people around you? Are you thankful that mercy has been placed upon you, that you could receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you thankful that you've got a roof over your head, that you've got a job, that you've got money, that you've got a vehicle to travel in, that you've got a wife, that you've got kids? Are you thankful for Jesus himself? Now, Psalm, just to stay on this line of thanksgiving, because it goes along with prayer, Psalm 116 is a good little psalm that carries on with this, and we'll just have a little squiz. From verse 12, he says, Psalm 116, verse 12, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I'll take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." In other words, he'll take what has been offered. "I will take up the cup of salvation." The Lord Jesus has been crucified for the whole world, for all mankind. Freely take him. "I'll take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your manservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord." So the writer here is saying, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his great goodness and his grace toward me? I will take the cup of salvation, and I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In other words, I will take it up, and I will say thank you. And you always see this with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever he's addressing his Father, he always says, "I thank you. I thank you, Father, for the situation. Father, I thank you." And then he would continue on. Thanksgiving, that one little word is really important. That we be thankful saints for all that God has done. And thankfulness is an act of faith, because we are saying to God, "The situation is in your hands." In Hebrews 13, verse 15 says the same sort of theme. "Therefore, by him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Little word, thankfulness, not often spoken about. Okay, so "be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In other words, tell him everything that's going on. And verse 7, "and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus." So now he's saying there is a result that will happen to you if you expose everything to the Father. He says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. There's different types of peace. This peace is not like a beauty pageant where they ask someone, what do you want? Well, we want world peace. Every beauty pageant you see, the person always wants world peace. And world peace is a good thing. There will be world peace in the end when the Lord Jesus Christ takes his reign in the millennium. But until then, there will not be peace until the second coming of Christ. There is the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, him, our substitute. He was made sin for you and I. There is a peace with God that has been provided for by the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there is the peace of God. And the peace of God is the presence of Christ within the believer. In John 14:27, Jesus said this to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." How does the world give peace? See, every single person has a hole inside of them that can only be filled by God's presence to actually give lasting peace. The world gives a small amount of peace. It gives pleasure. You may find peace or pleasure in the work that you do, which is a good thing. You might find those things in the money that you have or in the sport that you do, in relationships and sex. And these are all good things, but they will not provide the peace that is needed for our souls. Jesus himself is that peace, and he will fill all of our needs. So that peace is actually the presence of God himself. And Paul here says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Now that comes about, there'll be times in our life when we'll go through things and we don't know what the outcome is going to be like, and we expose the situation to God, and suddenly we are filled with this peace. We don't understand why we feel the way we do, but we know that the situation is under God's feet. It's in his hands. He can take care of it. And we know that. And it enables us to rest in him and to enjoy him. And there'll be situations that God will lead us into to actually show himself real to you and I by this presence of peace within our souls. The situation will be dire. It will tell you the exact opposite, that you should be worrying, you should be anxious, you should be afraid. But the peace of God comes upon the believer and it surpasses all understanding. You don't understand why you feel at rest, but it's because it's in God's hands and it's under his feet, and he gives you that rest and that comfort in your soul that you know this is in God's hands. It's under his feet. It's his business. With whatever comes, it's his business. And that's a wonderful thing that Paul puts this in here, because it's true. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. This peace says it's a guard. The Amplified Version said it garrisons around the heart. And it, you get a picture of the believer with a fort around him. That's what a garrison is. That the peace of God is pictured like that. It garrisons around your life to protect you. And it says here that the heart and the mind need protecting. See, in Ephesians 6, we've got the armor of God. And two aspects of that was the breastplate of righteousness, which protects the heart, and the helmet of salvation, which protects the mind. Both of these areas are prone to Satan's arrows. He's always firing at the heart, and he's always firing at the mind. And we need the peace of God to guard around what goes on in our head. What goes on in the top 2 inches, because that affects what we think, affects how we feel. It's vital. Vital. When I had the yips in golf, crazy stuff was going through my mind. I cared too much, and I became a nervous wreck. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, that we are to take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. And the peace of God protects your mind and your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of the heart are the issues of life. We need to protect it. We need to protect both the mind and the heart. How we think, what we do when situations come. Do we instantly fear, instantly get worried? Do we allow anxiety to grow? Or do we do what Paul here says here, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, bring God into every aspect of what is going on in your life. And he says, if you can do that, the peace will guard. It'll guard your heart and your mind, and it'll garrison around your life and give you rest for your souls. So, saints, that's those two little verses. I pray you see more in there. And we'll go on to how, because he talks about protecting your mind, and these next few verses are vital for what goes on upstairs in the way we think. So, Father, we just thank you for these two verses about anxiousness. We all get anxious, but we thank you for the promise that you are a great God, and for everything that is over our head, we need to put under your feet. We thank you for your sovereignty, and we thank you for the presence of Christ that protects us. It protects our mind and it protects our heart. And we thank you that we are in you, in a risen Christ. And we are thankful this day for your involvement in our lives. Teach us to not be anxious. Teach us to bring you into everything so that you may live through us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.